out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I think she's the only person I know from South Dakota. But that's okay, because you know what? Pastor Judy's ministry is all over the world, and Harvest Time people have been very privileged to minister with her in places around the world like Kenya, where she has brought change and transformation to places all over the place. Every time she comes, she brings a word that's full of wisdom and full of impact from the Holy Spirit. I understand that she was just coming just a week or two ago off a conference where they were talking about being in the fire, and I believe she's got some fire from the Holy Spirit to add to the fire that the Lord has already been pouring out here these past 2.5 weeks here in Greenwich. So, Pastor Judy, please come and bless us with the Word of God this evening. Would you stand and just give your best welcome this evening for our friend, Pastor Judy Shaw?
Why don't we just keep clapping and let's give it all to Him. He deserves the glory and the honor and the praise. Come on, you can do better than that. That's it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. We put a demand on your presence. We put a demand on your power tonight. We put a demand on your glory in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this time and this space that you've gathered us together to be in your presence, to be in your glory. We honor you and we love you, Daddy God. We love you with an everlasting love. We love you. We appreciate everything that you've done, what you're doing, but what you're going to do even tonight, tonight. Father, we have great expectation. You told us that we can pray, give us this day our daily bread. And what you've done last week was wonderful. What you did last night was great. But tonight, God, we thank you that you're moving us from glory to glory to glory to glory. And there is no shortage in your blessing. There is no shortage in your power. There is no shortage in your glory. So bring it on, Holy Spirit. We're ready for it tonight. And we are ready tonight. Our hearts are open. Our spirits are open. Our ears are open. Our minds open to what you want to deposit, release into our hearts, into our spirit. Father, we decree and declare that this is good ground. This is good ground. We are good ground. And you can pour your seed in it. We will not allow it to be spilled on the ground. But we'll take it and we'll just receive it in the name of your Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for this house, this move that you're doing in this region, in this world. We come to say amen to it. We come to say yes. We've come to say, Lord, and it is so in Jesus' name. And as we add, God, our deposit to it, we thank you for the current of the river. I prophesy even tonight that the current will be greater, be more powerful, more authoritative in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the great release. Hallelujah. And if you agree with that prayer, everybody say amen, 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 and amen, amen. You can be seated in the presence of God. Wow. Somebody say wow. I know you've been having some wow services, but I'll tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. I feel like the Queen of Sheba. I heard what was going on. And so I had to come and see what was going on. And then like the Queen of Sheba, I came packing. Hallelujah. I may not have brought camels, but I brought some stuff with me to unload in this house tonight. Come on. The glory of the Lord has risen. And it's upon us. Isaiah declared that in his word, and he told the body of Christ to arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen and it's here right now. Remember that right here, right now. And I'm telling you, it's here. When I walked in the door, when I came on the grounds, I felt it a little, but when I got to these doors, I said, wow. And I'm telling you, there is an anointing in this house that will accomplish what God has set out to do. I truly believe, Pastor Glenn, God bless you for just orchestrating by the Holy Spirit and just releasing this in the area and being obedient. I bless you in Jesus' name. But, you know, I do realize that there is a purpose for the anointing and there's a purpose for His glory. And it's not just for us to just shake and do all that wonderful stuff. It's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful. And because when you feel that, that's great. Come on, when you feel that, that's like, wow. That's not man doing that to you. Man cannot take the credit, because when the supernatural, when the presence of God come upon you, that makes you feel like, whoa, what's going on here? And you know it's not man, it's the Holy Spirit. So that's big. That's big. Don't apologize for it. That's big. That's you meeting up with the Holy Presence of God. And He gives us those kind of experiences. And it's in those, with those experiences, in these type of settings, we are transformed. It's a purpose. We don't want to waste this anointing, do we? We don't want to waste this glory, do we? We want to just to get the purpose, the full essence of what it's all about. And it's, you know what it's here? It's to release the glory. It's to destroy every yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. It's to eradicate sin. It's to change your mindset. It's to change you from the inside out. It comes for a specific person. And I declare it's happening in this place, in this place, in this place, in this place. You're being transformed in His presence. Theology can't do this. And I love theology, but theology can't do this. There has to be an actual encounter with the Holy Spirit. The word is letter and spirit. And how many know we surely got the letter? We know the word. We've been fed and we've been given information, but now it's time for an encounter with the Holy Spirit like never before. I'm ready to put into practice everything that's been taught from when I was a little girl up until now. And I still say there's more, and that's why I'm here tonight. And that's why you're here tonight, because you're saying, I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. I'm not satisfied. There is more for me to receive, and God wants to give me more. Hallelujah. I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place. Hallelujah. And what you are experiencing is the more of the holiness of God. What you are experiencing is what God has released in this earth to finish, to accomplish in time ministry. The day for form and fashion is over. It died last night. It's over. But God has raising up a people, a remnant like yourselves, that's sacrificing and that's putting away, carving out precious time that you would have done this and that. But something's moving, something's changing, and something's happening. And it's causing you to prioritize, and it's causing you to look at things differently again. And it's causing such a hunger and a thirst. Nobody could, I told Faith on the way, and she just picked me up from the airport. Nobody could have orchestrated this. It doesn't matter if you would have gone on a 40-day fast. You couldn't have got this like this. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And God is the only one that calls times and seasons like this. And I want to tell you, you are in the midst of a habitation. You are in the midst of God revealing. This is the stirring of the waters. The angels are coming down and causing wholeness and causing salvation and causing deliverance and causing a new thing to happen in Connecticut. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. This is not only about you, but you have opened up the river of God for whole Connecticut to come into. You've opened up new portals for whole Connecticut to come through and for heaven to be released over here and over there. So you are important. You are so important to be a part of what God is doing. This is not just an ordinary day, another ordinary day. I mean, what I heard happened to your pastor a couple of weeks ago, I said, what? I said, no. Are you talking about Glenn Harvest? And they described what he was doing and what happened. I said, God is really moving. God is really moving. And I think I couldn't wait to get here. I didn't know when I was coming, but when I found out that this was the time, I didn't let anything stop me. And it tried to. It really did. Last night when I woke up, 2 o'clock in the morning, I had gone to the dentist because all of a sudden I got two abscesses and my face is still swollen some, but I went to the dentist. I said, you got to do something. You got to do something because I have to get on a plane tomorrow. So you got to give me some relief because I can't not let anything stop me from getting to harvest time tomorrow. And so she gave me some antibiotics. I prayed and she gave me some pain pills. And about 3 o'clock this morning, I felt the worst pain in my life. I walked the floor for about 3 hours. I got ready to take myself to an emergency, and I said, told the Lord, I said, you know what? This is going to have to stop. You know, there are sometimes you've got to put your foot down and say, you know what? You have to be relentless. You have to be relentless when you know something is supposed to happen. You have to be, every time you come through these doors, you got to be relentless. You got to say something's got to happen. The Bible says when two or three gather together in his name, something's got to happen in the name of Jesus. And so I had to press my way, and I told the Lord, I said, you know what? It's going to be a win-win situation. Either you're going to heal me on my way, or when I get there, if the pain's going to go away. Or when I get there, I'm going to be like Paul. You didn't take the thorn out of my flesh, but I'm doing ministry anyway. It's a win-win situation. And if the pain is still there, which is not, by the way, if it was, I would tell you, when you really know you are on an assignment, when you really know God has something for you, you got to press your way. You got to press your way into the presence of God. You got to go a little further than you would have normally gone. Because the way I felt last night, I said, I can't do anything. I can't go. I couldn't even open my mouth. My face was way bigger than it was. But I'm telling you, when I made up my mind, I said, I kept calling. I said, well, I can't get a flight. They said, you can't get into Westchester. I said, take me to LaGuardia. Take me to JFK. Take me, get me there by an airplane. Get me there by a train. I don't care how you get me. Just get me there. And I'm telling you, there is a release in this house. There's a release in this house tonight. Hallelujah. There's a release in your heart and in your spirit. There's a release. So when we think about these type of gatherings, and we've been experienced, when Kenny came to us after he came to you guys, I'm kind of glad he came here first because he brought some of that there. You know, and we just exploded too. And many, many things were happening. And people came and got under that anointing and received the fire, received the glory of the Lord upon their lives like never before. And I'm telling you, testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony just began to happen. As people sat in the presence of God, supernatural things began to happen. Their faith exploded just by listening, just by sitting. Things began to change in their lives, their mindsets, their paradigms began to change. And there was a greater hunger, and faith went to an all-time height. It went to an all-time height so much that I'll just tell you a couple of incidents that happened. One of the pastors from California that came to the conference where Ken Gott was speaking, our Founders Week conference, he came in a wheelchair. He's been coming in a wheelchair for a number of years. And the word of the Lord got a hold to him. And the presence of God was so huge. And Dave Wagner, myself, and Ken Gott, we were just praying over him. And he just picked himself up out the wheelchair. And he started moving his own legs. And he just said, if I'm going to get something, it's going to be here tonight. And he made a decision. He made up his mind that I am going to get something because the presence was undeniable. Just like I'm feeling in this room. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. And it's even more than what you can sense. It's something even more than what you can feel. It's a great release for the purposes of God. And what happened to him? It happened. Different things will happen individually to you. There's a corporate release, but I'm telling you, ma'ams and sir, there's an individual release for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. You know, we come and we jump in the river, the wonderful praise team with Pastor Nick and Dan, and how they open up the river, and we jump in the river and we just swim. But I want to tell you something. In these services, you have your own river. You step into your own river. In these services, there's a porter over your head, and there's a place of access that you have individually just by being in his presence, saying, crying, God, I want more. God, I want to see your glory. You have an individual release tonight. It's good. It's real good. That means when you leave here, you can take it home with you. You can take it in the marketplace. You can take it on your job. It's real. It's tangible. You can see it. You can sense it. You can feel it. You can just, you know, you can prime it up when you get ready, because the kingdom of heaven is up in us. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. If you believe, as the scripture has said, John said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We've come here so we can really get it stirred up in here. And this is the reason for these services, to have these kind of spirit encounters, Holy Spirit encounters that transforms us, that changes us eternally. It pushes us to a new place. Special services. A certain time of the year is when the angel, the ministering angel, came to stir the water at the pool of Bethesda. This is your certain season, harvest time. This is your certain season, Connecticut, and the waters are being stirred. And as you jump into the river, it's consuming you. I said it's consuming you. It's consuming your mind. It's consuming your heart. It's consuming your spirit. It's causing you to be differently in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so the pastor that came in the wheelchair, he got up and he just started making movement. And we were so happy about that. But then the word of the Lord came to him from Steve Youngblood and told him, said, you know what, Reggie? He said, you can still preach. There's nothing wrong with your spirit. Your body may be handicapped, but the God in you is stronger than it's ever been. The anointing upon your life is stronger than it's ever been. And God still wants you to do ministry. And from that day forth, faith jumped up in his heart. His handicap was that he was in the wheelchair, and by his own reasoning, I'm waiting till I get out of the wheelchair so I can do ministry again. How many know what I'm talking about? Let me make it plain. I'm waiting till I get out of this trial so God can really use me. I can't wait till I finish Bible school so God can really sit me for. No, now. Somebody say now. And these services are to equip you and to empower you now. Faith will explode in your heart right now and commission you to go forth. And as you are a carrier, you will be a releaser, and you will see immediately the results, because it's the timing of God. And when God is showing signs and wonders, he does things like this. Just like he did these meetings tonight and last week. And so he began to pray for people that night. And people began to just come up to him. And they began to get healed and slain. And I got a report from his wife that this past Sunday, that he wheeled himself up to the front of the altar and he started praying for everybody, and he released the anointing and everybody was slain. People were getting miraculously healed. Come on, somebody. All because he sat in services like these and he had an encounter. He had a faith encounter with the Holy Spirit. And this is why you're here. God is setting you up. He's equipping you. He's putting a yes, Lord, in your heart. He's putting running in your feet. He's putting a great big hallelujah in your mouth. He's putting a go in your spirit. And he's doing it where nobody else is going to have to tell you to do it. You don't have to be on the committee. You don't have to be on the missionary board. You don't have to be on the sick and shed it. It's something on the inside. God is doing something on the inside of us, and is speaking to us and says, yes, you go, you go, you go. You be a part of it. That's what's happening at service. Be a part of that. It's happening on the inside, people of God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine on the day of Pentecost? You know, The thing that I like about this, that we're living in the last days, the Apostle Paul calls it the climax of the ages. You know, the last of the last days. The thing I like about it is there is an urgency. And the Bible says it like this in the NIV, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. And forceful men. I believe you're forceful men and women tonight. Thursday night, y'all looking like this. I believe you're forceful men and women tonight. One of the enemies of Christianity and one of the enemies of a move of God like this is casualness. You know, not only apathy and not only mediocrity, but just casual Christianity, you know, when I get there, you know, and if he wants to bless me. Forceful men take a hold of it. It's the hungry that will be fed. It's those that are crying out to God like David. And this poor man cried and he heard his cry and he delivered him. It's those that have a pursuit, not the passive, not in this hour. 20 years ago, yes. 10 years ago, yes. Now, absolutely not. God is looking for the hungry. God is looking for those that says, I'm in, Pastor. Count me in. Sign me up. I want to usher in a new move of God. I want to be right here to pump it in. I want to be right here to pray it in. I've got to be a part of it. Whatever he's doing in this season, he can't do it without me. Hallelujah. Felt that tonight. Whatever God is doing, I'm telling you, God, you cannot do it without me. Here I am, God. Don't forget me. I mean, I can sing like the rest of them. I mean, I can play the piano, but I can do something. Hallelujah. I stir up every gift of God that's in here tonight in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands right now. I stir up the gifts that God put in you. The reason why you are here. The reason why you came into this world. There was an assignment on your life before you got here. There's gifts and there's callings that God, there's mantles that's to be released upon you. In the name of Jesus, while we're in this atmosphere, as we're in this anointing, I release the presence of God. I release the power of God. I stir up the gifts that's within you. I stir the anointings be stirred in Jesus' name. Be stirred. I stir up your watchers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We're here tonight. We're here tonight. And the cry of this house is more. And I believe in the book of Acts, the first and second chapter, when it was the beginning, Pastor Nick, of the New Testament church. And I really believe that there was a gathering. And there was a gathering in the upper room, you know that? And many came, but many didn't stay. Some just said, okay, that was good. Some did not discern what God was doing. And Isaiah said, I'll do a new thing. Will you be able to perceive it? Can you perceive it? Or are you going to discount it? Or are you going to say, just another revival? No, this is not just another ordinary day. If I'm excited, if I'm loud, I'm just excited. I'm just excited because I realize I can discern. I can discern what's happening. And I can discern the time and the season. I can see your hearts and I can see what's in your eyes. And I can say, I've not seen it like this before. Come on, somebody. And you know what? Tell the truth. You've not seen it like this before either. You've not felt it like this before. And the first one to say, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got to see the video. I have to see the video. But this is what God is doing. And they gathered in the upper room, you know? And some didn't come to stay, but some came to stay. Some came to stay because some believed the report. They believed what Jesus said. They had followed him and they knew of his works and everything he said came to pass. So why not this? And some came to stay. They came to camp out. They rearranged their schedules. They rearrange their entire lives for the move of God. Come on, people. That's why we were born, Pastor Nick. That's why we were born. We were born for the move of God. And so everything else becomes secondary and third and fourth and fifth in the move of God. And the now the current activity of the Holy Spirit is number numero uno. Hallelujah. Say, well, you know, every night. Yes, every night. With a break, Sila, and then we pick it up again. Hi, Nancy. And then we pick it up again. But you know what? This is what we're born for. Don't you agree? I don't have a pain in my body. I don't feel nothing. The swelling has got to be gone down. It's in His presence. Only in His presence can we have certain encounters. Only His presence. Saul had to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God, and he was thoroughly changed. It's not by mind. It's not by power. Everything happens by His presence, in His presence. Fullness of joy. Whew. Just take a deep breath. Come on. In His presence. Everybody that had a name change, they had an encounter with heaven. Not just the word. And the word is powerful, and it brings us into this. The word tells us what to experience, what to expect. The word opens up and gives light and tells us what's next and what's going to happen, what can really happen. But then we can't stop there. We have to go on to know the Lord. And we have to go on to experience the power of His presence. And you shall receive power, Acts 1 and 8 says, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You got power. You got the Holy Ghost. You got power. You got power. And at these times, in these gatherings, that God is ready to do something on this East Coast. That God has opened up this area. And you have said, come on in. Come. You said, yes, you can land that 747 right here. We clear a runway. We're clearing the path. Come on, bring it all. We'll bring it all. We don't want just $2 worth of God. We don't want just $3 worth of God. We want all of God. We want it all. We want the length, the breadth, the height, the depth. We want all. We need all to finish His work, people. Where sin abound, I'm not worried about sin because grace much more abound. And every time we get intimate and get in these kinds of settings and we draw nearer and closer, there's grace given to us. There's a grace given to us. As you're sitting here these nights and you feel compelled and you don't want to, you know, you're tired, but you don't want to miss anything. Yeah. There's a grace. He's releasing a grace. The closer we get, the more we know. I'm going to read you three scriptures in one moment and just going to tie all this together. But as we sit in His presence, things are happening. They're happening. And all we have to do is cry out for it and receive it. And as we're receiving it, we are being carriers of it. And it's being established. Well, you say, well, I went last week. We need you to come again next week because it has to get established in you. It has to get established in you. It just can't come to the ankle. It just can't come. The water just can't come to the knees. It just can't come to the waist. How many want to swim in this glory? You want to get immersed. Come on, people. You want to get immersed. You want to get immersed in this glory. You want Him to transform us where we don't walk on our natural and our carnal side, but we're just walking in the spirit realm where there's transformation, where we can be like Him tonight in Jesus' name. How many feeling this tonight? I'm sensing the presence of His holiness being here tonight. Transformation and causing us to see differently and to know differently and what we're receiving. What we're receiving in this hour, Pastor Glenn, we've never had it before. We've never had it before.
And we've been to a lot of, and we've done them, but we've never had this before. You've never had it before. We can't really, we may look like we know what we're doing. We really don't tell anybody, but we really don't know what we're doing. Because it's a new template. It's a new pattern. And all we're saying is, is this what you want? This is what you'll get. And we're going to accommodate for it. We're going to make room for it. We're going to rearrange stuff. You know, what is this? Where are the chairs? We're going to rearrange stuff. I'm like, what? Okay. But you know what that lets me know is in Matthew, the 16th chapter, when Jesus was on his way to the cross, he stopped and he asked his disciples a question. And this is the question he asked his disciples. I got a reputation. Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? So they told him, Christ. Some say you're a apostle, you're a prophet. Some say you're a teacher, good guy. They like you, Joseph's son. You know, they getting it. And so he said, okay, you've been with me, you've seen me, you know me. What do you think about me? Who do you say I am? And Peter spoke for everybody, one that's been transformed, had an encounter. I'm telling you, these kind of servants will transform you. Not only give you a name, but give you a new M.O., will give you a new identity. When you get a new identity, you get a new reputation. Look at the person next to you and say, your reputation is changing. Sorry. Come on, somebody say, change it, Lord. Your reputation is changing. I'm telling you, after that Sunday, Pastor Glenn's reputation just got changed. And the Holy Spirit is singing a song. That's the way, I like it. And when Jesus asked the disciple, who do men say, who do you say I am? Simon Peter said, oh, we got it. We got it. We know who you are. You're the Christ. And with great joy, with a happiness in his heart, he said, I can go to the cross now. They don't need me anymore. They get it. They can go and get it for themselves. That's what I'm talking about. God has given you access that, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You got it. But you got it from the Spirit. You got it from the Spirit. And I'm telling you, in these services, you're going to receive so much from the Spirit because he is doing a mighty work. He's downloading. He's releasing. He's giving revelation. He's causing the scales to come over your eyes. He's causing things to pop off your mind. The doubt is moving. Frustration is going. And God is causing us to see something new in these services. Hallelujah. And what we see, we can become. What we feel, we can become. And he went to the cross because he said, now I know they can get it for themselves. And this is what these services are allowing you to do. To come, even if the worship team wasn't as good as they are, and they're good. They just open the portals and we just run in. But even if they were, say they were all slain in the floor, you know what to do. You know how to get it yourself. Flesh and blood don't have to lead you into it. Come on, I'm saying something right now. Flesh and blood doesn't have to lead you into it. But the Spirit that you know, the Spirit that you have had an encounter with, and I'm telling you, you have never had what you're receiving now. So greater things are coming your way. Greater opportunities, sir. Greater opportunities is coming your way. And you're going to be ready for it. You're going to be ready for the boldness that comes with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be ready for it. Before you shied away for it. Before you had, you know, what you call humility, you know, and you wanted to prefer somebody else all because you were scared. Oh, Pastor, let them do it. Oh, they deserve a chance. Really, because you didn't feel adequate or you didn't want to do it because you didn't feel like you're equipped. But I'm telling you, as you sit in this presence, as you sit in these meetings, as you hear this word, as you're being taught, something supernatural is happening. These are supernatural services. These are not ordinary services in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Even now, he rewires our thinking. And we cease to think natural in a sense. And we believe God for everything. We believe God for everything. We move over into this realm that has come to rest, rule, and abide. This show is not going to be over, people. This show, remember, keep the curtains up because it's not going to be curtain time. It's not halftime. Leave them open. This is the real deal. This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been praying for. We've prophesied our way into this day. We've prayed. We've cried. We've fasted. We've longed for this day. Do you know what it takes for a worship team to try their best to get the right songs and get the right anointing for the right service for that day? Do you know the work and the cry of a worship leader's or a pastor's heart to see the Shekinah glory or the release that's happening like this? They've longed for this day, and you have too, because you know what? You get tired of church being regular church. You get tired of that, don't you? And you want to see something more, and it's in his glory. Let me read the scriptures, and we're just going to go and sit more in his presence. How many know that when God reveals himself like he's revealing himself, all the gray areas, all the gray shades go? All the gray shades go. I'm telling you, get ready. You're getting a new reputation. Like it or not, you're getting a new reputation. And I have one word to say about it. Don't apologize for it. Don't apologize for it. Because it's a new thing that God is doing in all of us. And we're saying, come on, Holy Ghost. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we praise him for his supernatural work. He knows what it takes to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And I believe that it's just serious godliness that's happening. How many are really serious? Yeah, this church is filled tonight. Almost every seat is filled. That means that you're serious. You're not just casually coming here. You're very intentional. And you're doing this deliberately, and you really want something. And I believe it doesn't only stop when you're in here, but I believe that when you go home, somebody's on their knees still crying out to God. I believe that somebody is still pacing the floor. I believe that it's still on. I don't believe you turn it off when you leave out of here. And I understand that you don't like to leave out of here either. I understand that you still like to hang out. Go home and burn up your own electricity. Cut the lights out in the church. Oh, look at the brothers. Look at the deacons. Say, yeah, Pastor Judy, preach it. But this is when you know that there's an authentic move of God. There's serious godliness. There's serious godliness. And then serious things happen. Let me give you these three scriptures that I brought to you tonight. Well, let's go to the Old Testament first. Exodus 34, and these will be familiar scriptures that you know and read, and I'll just say amen to it. Exodus 30, 27 through 35. The 29th verse. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know He didn't know something. He did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. He didn't know it. See, things are happening to you and you don't even know it. People will say, wow, you're different. Expect it. People say, you know, you look different. Your face looks different. I mean, there will be visible manifestations. There will be visible changes. They're going to see what you can't see yourself. I'm gonna share a vision with you that I had just a month ago when I was in Ghana doing a meeting, and I took a team with me, Dave Wagner and another brother, a pastor, apostle from Baton Rouge, and we did the whole meeting the week, and then on Sunday we dispersed and went to different churches, and I gave them the big churches, and I said, I'll take the little church, you know, you guys do that. And they said, well, no, we'll take the small. I said, no, I got the small church. I got the little village church. And when I went there through the woods and through the everything, it was really a little, not even as large as a garage on the side of a house. It probably housed about 20 people, but it was communion Sunday. And when I walked inside, it was very liturgical, and it had all of the wrappings of the way communion should be. And while I was preaching, and I'm just going to share this with you, this just happened about a month ago, that sometimes you don't know what's on you. But when you leave these places, you're going to be wearing the glory. You're going to be wearing the glory. And people are going to see it. It's going to be visible. They're going to sense it. They're going to feel it. I'm serious. You're going to be radiant. And while I was doing that communion message, and I was talking about the intimacy and the communion and what happens when, you know, we become him. And I started talking about this robe of righteousness. And Pastor Glenn, right in front of my eyes, I had a vision. And I had a vision that I was standing there. I'm preaching. And now I'm preaching what I see. Now I'm saying, and God's going to put a robe. I'm preaching what I see. And the robe, and it's shining. And I'm describing this robe of righteousness. And it's brilliant. It's bright. And it's coming on me. And I'm saying, oh, and I'm telling the people, and whatever your rags of unrighteousness was, your filthy rags, once he put this robe on you, once he put this glory on you, you won't be able to see it any longer. And people will only see the glory of God on you because this is the vision that I saw. And God spoke to me and says, from this day on, from this day forward, you shall not walk into a place the same way you ever walked into a place because of what I'm putting on you right now. I decree that for this house right now. In Jesus' name, I believe I experienced it so I can come and release it. I'm a carrier of it. I experience now. I release it in Jesus' name, that God will put robes of righteousness, that you will shine bright with the glory of God all around you, not only in you, but around you, that men will see your good works and see something supernatural on you and glorify him. I release that upon you right now. Receive the supernatural. In Jesus' name, receive it. Let this bypass your mind and just receive it in your spirit realm, because this is what God did in days of old, and he's still even doing greater things now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, slip your hands up right now. Let something supernatural come into you and upon you. The angel said to Mary, he said, you're getting ready to bring in the Christ. And she said, I'm a virgin. I can't do that. How is that going to happen? And the angel said, this is how it's going to happen. When the Holy Spirit overshadows you. Come on, let's get ready for an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit overshadows you, you're going to conceive a holy thing. Come on. I feel that release right now. I'm totally preaching by impartation. I'm totally preaching by what the Spirit is giving me right now, what he's showing me for this house right now. And Father, I just decree that there'll be an overshadowing. There'll be an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit upon us corporately and individually, territorially, and even generationally, Father, even now in overshadowing, that even as we're sitting here, that we're conceiving something holy, even as Mary did. Come on, open up your spiritual womb, open up your spiritual mind, and just receive whatever miraculous thing that the Holy Spirit is doing into you and for you right now. This is what this service is designed for. Come on, Holy Spirit, we're ready, we're ready. Hallelujah. You that are listening, receive this phenomenal work, receive it, it's by His Spirit. Receive it by faith because He spoke it, because I decreed it and declare it. It is so. It is so. Father, I thank You for something new that You're creating on the inside of us. You're causing us to grow in a very special way even now and to receive change, transform, transformation in Your presence right now. Hallelujah. Overshadow us. Overshadow us, Holy Spirit. Oh, there's a cloud over us, people. There's a cloud. I see the cloud. I just saw the cloud come. There's a cloud over us right now. Father, I thank You for Your cloud of glory. However you want to release it, however you want to manifest it, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. We receive. We receive. We receive. We receive. We receive, Lord. We receive. We receive, Lord. And the Bible says that when Moses came from the mountain, he did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, they beheld him and they saw his skin and that it shone with light, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. The 32nd verse says, after all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had commanded them. The last verse, and whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The Old Testament is always a type in the shadow. The Old Testament always tells us just in part. And I believe that this is in that dispensation was just something to show us something that's greater going to happen in this dispensation. Hallelujah. And I believe that one of the things that God is saying to the church in this hour, and it's going to happen through these services, take the veil off. He's saying to the church of Jesus Christ, we're powerful. We have it, but we've allowed the veil to be put on. And in these services, whatever that has been in your life, whatever it has been to keep the glory from showing forth, from being shown. I was talking to my youth pastor, Josh, just a day or two ago about the scripture. And he said, Pastor, you know what I believe? You know, just thinking about me as a young person. He said, I believe that Moses put that veil on his face because he didn't want rejection from the people. He said, I just believe that, you know, he was rejected before. And he said, you know, just out of my sense of my own things that happened to me in my life, when I read that, I just said that maybe the church is afraid of rejection and they're not letting the glory be shown. They're not letting the fullness of God be shown. They're just showing a little bit of God. And he said, I just really believe that we as a church need to just move with every trappings, with everything that we've put on, take it off and let the world see the glory of God, however it's manifested. Don't apologize for what we say, do, or do whatever. But take the veil off, and so the world can see the glory of God. The next scripture in Habakkuk says, for the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. And that's because they're going to see it through us and know it through us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How many can say that these services are doing that for you, taking some stuff off? Causing you to see him more and causing the glory to be seen by men more. Hallelujah. This is what these services are for. And then the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, because we're all walking around beaming, brilliant, shining forth. These are the days of Elijah. Hallelujah. And they're going to look and say, who do men say you are? Hallelujah. Last scripture tonight comes from Corinthians, the Apostle Paul. And he tells us in the third chapter, beginning of the 12th verse, the New King James Version, starting at the 12th verse. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we use great boldness of speech. Come on, say we have great boldness of speech. After being in these services, yes, you're going to have great boldness of speech. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're making a decision. We're not going to be silent anymore. And how can we, after we experience what we've been experiencing? How can we sit down on this? We cannot let something be put over on this light and let it be hid. No, take it off. Take it all off. Hallelujah. And let the world see and let the world know and let them experience what we have experienced. I'll say to anybody that's listening to us via internet, this is a very reputable church. It's a very authentic church, full of integrity all the way around. Come and check it out. This is not a flip-flop. This is not some hocus-pocus, somebody trying to do something. This is the real deal, people. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And we perceive it. And we are not just accepting it, but we are embracing it. And we're saying we are part of it, and we want to release it even more. Look at 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blind. Their minds were blinded. Not here, not so, people. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. 15th verse. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. This is for us. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We have turned unto the Lord in this new move. And I'm telling you, the veil that you did not know was upon you is being taken away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know we think that, you know, we're not legalistic, we're not religious, we're not this, we're not that, but obviously, we all needed something taken away. Obviously, we have not seen like we should have been seeing. Obviously, we've not been hearing like we should have been hearing. So the Lord says, in this move, in these services, the veil is being taken away. Now, that spirit? The Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? That's why Pastor Glenn, I'm going to stay right on him. That's why he was able to do what he did that Sunday. He was free in the spirit. And he didn't even know what he was doing. Am I right? If he knew how he would have looked, he would have got up off that floor. From what I understand, the noises that he was making, because somebody told me, he would have said, what in the world are you doing, Glenn? Stop it. But his spirit, come on, say my spirit.
My spirit.
His spirit had liberty. And sometimes your mind don't get it, but your spirit has liberty. Oh yeah, sometimes your opinion, your righteousness don't get it, but your spirit is now free. And your spirit is leaping up and down, and your spirit is doing stuff that you're trying to keep up with. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Come on, let it be so in Jesus' name. Let it be so in Jesus' name. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, what? The glory of the Lord. And we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. People, we came to stay. We camping out. Are y'all with us? I'm coming back. I may not have the microphone. I just come and sit in this glory. I'm serious. I'm coming back because God is doing something. And this right here, you don't leave this right away. Because it's not only for us. He's using us as conduits. He's using those willing persons that say, you know what? God wants to do something in this region, in this area. And we're going to be ones that he can come through and help usher it in and through. You're not just praying for yourself. You're praying for the nations. Oh, I know. This is an international church. I know that. We've come here to stay. This experience of the indwelling, we're making accommodations for it. Jesus is banking on us. John 2:16, I'll close with this, says, and the zeal of my Father's house is consuming me. The zeal of my Father's house is consuming me. How many feel like you're being consumed? Come on, lift your hands up. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm done. I'm done. I pray even now that the zeal of the Lord's house will consume you. Consume you. Consume you. And you are the temple of the living God. That nothing else matters. Come on. Come on, come on. Just lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Let them consume you. Come on, come on. Just leave your hands up. Father, I pray that the zeal of this house, that what you're doing in this house will consume us. The kingdom activity, that kingdom agenda would consume us. That we realize that we were called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah. The altar is open. Anybody who just want to come and sit in this? Change, 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 change.